Open your Bibles to Ephesians, please. Ephesians, just a couple of verses in chapter number 6, verse number 15. Maybe three verses, 15, 16, and 17. I'm going to read these three verses, then I want to ask you 10 questions this morning, and I want you to answer them for me. I'm not going to preach to you, but I'm going to ask you 10 questions this morning, and I want you to logic with me and reason with me very, very carefully. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, I want you to notice there's a comma there. How do you not walk as fools? What do you do to walk like a wise person? You have the right place, or have I to the wrong place? What did I say? Well, you should have known I meant chapter 5 is what you should have known. I figured you walk with God enough to where he would tell you what it was. You haven't even found Ephesians yet. Shut up. Ephesians chapter 5. Or if you'd prefer, I can bring a message from chapter 6, verse 15, if you'd like. That doesn't matter. Chapter 7, I can't bring a message from. But I'll be glad to bring a message on chapter 6, because I've studied as much about that as I have chapter 5. Now, all right, shut up. In verse number 15 of Ephesians, chapter number 8. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, as I said a while ago before you interrupted me, because you heard me wrong when I announced the passage, there's a comma there after the word wise. So it says, don't walk as fools, walk as wise. All right, now, what makes a person walk wisely and not as a fool? Since there's a comma there, it goes on to the next line, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Who's the fool? Person that doesn't redeem the time. Who's wise? A person that does redeem the time. Wherefore, and every time you have the word wherefore, there's something before. It connects it. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Our Father, bless us as we think together on a very important subject this morning. Give me the attention, please, of all the people here. Amen. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I don't expect to help many of you this morning, but I expect to transform some of you this morning. Bible said, plainly, if you don't redeem the time, you're walking as a fool. If you do redeem the time, buy up the time, use the time, then you're walking wisely. I want you to really follow me as I ask you 10 questions. I want you to logic with me. First question I want to ask you this morning is this. If you have idle time, with whom will you have to spend it? Let me ask it again. If you have idle time, and let me put a little other phrase in there. If you have some idle time and you want to spend it with somebody, with whom will you have to spend it? Answer me. Somebody who's idle. Look at me. If you have idle time, no note taking, just look out this way. If you have idle time, you'll have to spend it. If you spend it with anybody, you'll have to spend it with idle people. Is that right? Because if folks that are busy don't have any idle time to spend with you. So you'll have to spend it with people who are idle. Let me ask a second question. Who are the better people? Idle people or busy people? Answer me. Who are the better people? Idle people or busy people? All right, then question number 3. Then what crowd are you spending your idle time with? Better crowd or worse crowd? Let me ask you those 3 questions again. You answer them. If you have idle time and you spend it with someone, with whom would you have to spend it? Idle people. Question number two, who are the better people, busy people or idle people? Then if busy people are the best people and you have to spend idle time with idle people, then if you spend time with those idle people, you're spending time with the better people or the worse people? Don't you see what I'm saying? If you spend idle time, you have no choice but to spend it with the worst people, because the best people are busy. Question number four. Who makes the best friend? An idle person or a busy person? You see, we're all wacky, except me. Everybody's wacky. I mean, we say, if you love me, you'd spend more time with me. Now, that's one of the wackiest things anybody ever say. If you love me, you'll spend more time with me. So, because the busy people are the best friends. I'll guarantee you this. The best friends I have in this world are busy people. I'll guarantee you this. The best friends you have in this world are busy people. All right, question number five. Then who are your best friends, the busy or the idle? Look at me. Everybody wake up. You're watching the Minnesota Twins play in the World Series. You wouldn't have to have anybody wake you up. Hey, wake up. Slap the fellow next to you and slap yourself. Wake up. Wake up. I'm serious about that. I don't believe. Hey, when you're really interested in something, you don't have trouble staying awake. No, you don't. No. Sleeping while somebody, while something's going on is a sign of disinterest. What I'm logicking about with you this morning will transform your life if you listen to it. All right? Then, who makes the best friends? Better people or worse people? All right, then, who are the better people? The idle or the busy? Okay, then who are your best friends? The busy or the idle? All right, number six. So are your best friends those who have more time for you or less time for you? It's very interesting, isn't it? Huh. Now, I thought that the people spent more time with you loved you most. But that's not what truth is. The truth is that your best friends are those who probably have less time for you. Question number seven. Would you call your best friends those who do the most for you or with you? All right. Then if somebody's doing something for you in your absence, would not they be a better friend than somebody that's doing something with you in your presence? So what we're saying is this. We're saying since busy people are the best people, and busy people have no idle time to spend with you, then the person who spends idle time with you is not your friend. He's wasting your time. And he's wasting his own time. Let me tell you something. What I'm talking to you about this morning will determine your future a lot more than whether you know systematic theology or not. And what I'm talking about to you about this morning will determine your future a lot more than your ability to make a speech in front of people will determine. I'm saying there's one place we're all equal. Now, all of us don't have the same amount of talent. All of us don't have the same amount of mental ability. But all of us have the same amount of time. We're equal there. We're equal. So I ask you the question. If you have idle time, with whom will you spend it? You'll have to spend it with those who are idle. I ask you the question, who are the better people, the idle or the busy? And the question answer is the busy. So then, the question comes, then with which crowd are you spending your time? And you're spending your time with the idle crowd because the busy folks don't have time. And I ask you the question, then who makes the best friends, a person that's busy or the person that's idle? Then you're an idiot for spending your time with idle people. And you get idle, I'll guarantee you, you'll migrate to the other idle people. The do-nothing crowd migrates to the do-nothing crowd. And not only are you spending your time with people who are not your best friends and who are not the best people, but you yourself are not the best person either, and you're not going to be a friend to your friend because you're going to be with him to do something for him. I guarantee you, there are hundreds of people in America that don't know this, but I'm their best friend. And there are some who know it. You ask singer Bill Harvey, who was my singer for a couple of years, who his best friend is. He'll say Brother Hiles. You ask Dr. Wally Beebe, who worked for me, who his best friend is. He'll say Brother Hiles. You ask Dr. Lindsay Terry, who worked for me 4 years, who his best friend is. He'll say Brother Hiles. And on and on. Now, I don't see those fellows over 2 or 3 hours a year. Sometimes not that much. But when they get in trouble, I go to their rescue. Why? Because I am busy doing things so I can do for them when they have need instead of play with them when they have no need. Now, young people, you say, well, when I get old, I'm going to do that. I heard somebody say, Maranatha, pardon the word. I heard somebody say, Maranatha. They said, well, I don't have your convictions now, Dr. Hiles, but when I get out in the field, your convictions are exactly what I'm going to have. While I'm in college, I'm going to go mixed bathing, but when I get out in the field, I'll be against it. No, you won't be anything in the field that you're not now. What you are is what you will be, and what you will be is what you were. Now, you better listen to me. If you don't redeem the time while you're in college, you won't redeem the time anywhere. And the difference between success and failure is not how much talent you have or how smart you are. It's what do you do with the 24 hours a day that God has given you. I woke up this morning about 1:30. And boy, I woke up with an idea about a sermon. Jumped out of bed. I just said, I'll do that in the morning. I'll forget it in the morning. I was up 1:30, 2:30 this morning preparing a sermon. You got as much time as I've got. I've got as much time as you have. So I'm saying your best friends are those who do the most for you and not with you. Question number 8. So are your best friends those who have more time for you or less time for you? It's interesting, isn't it? Question number 9. Then is the best teacher, is the best teacher the one who prepares for you or plays with you? Answer me. Yeah. That's not what you think. Oh, she's so nice. She comes and just hangs around like one of the girls. She's a lazy bum. I'm sorry, a bummiss. Every school's got them. I don't know who they are here, but we probably have some. And they're good old guys, good gals. Always got... People say, oh, he's so nice. He always has time for everybody. He's lazy. Fellow's doing what he ought to do, hadn't got time for everybody. And the teacher who's preparing for you... He's a better friend to you than the teacher who plays with you. Question number 10. If I am to be your friend, should I have idle time with you? No, the truth is nobody ought to ever have idle time. Idle time should not be a part of your schedule at all. No idle time. Never idle time. What is idle time? Idle time is unplanned time. Well, shouldn't you have leisure? Yeah, but it'll be planned leisure. Not casual leisure, not happenstance leisure, but planned leisure. Now I want you to follow me through these questions again. I want you to see the logic. Listen carefully now and you answer me. If you have idle time, with whom will you spend it? Those who are idle or those who are not idle? Those who are idle. Question number 2. Who are the better people? Those who are idle or those who are not idle? Question number 3. Then if you have idle time and spend it with those that are idle, are you spending your time with better people or worse people? Worse people. Then who makes the best friends, the idle or the busy? Then who are your best friends, the busy or the idle? I'll guarantee you, Buster, that little crowd walks just inside the rules. Lays around while others are busy. That little crowd, when you get in trouble, they're not the ones going to come to your rescue. No, they're not your friends. They love to be with you, but that's selfish. Well, my soul, a lot of people I'd love to be with, I don't have time to be with a lot, unless I plan it. I'd love to be with many people. But I'm too busy, in most cases, working for them than satisfying my own selfish desire to be with them. And, by the way, to win them to myself. That's not my job. My job is not trying to convince you I'm a good guy. My job is trying to be a good guy. My job is not trying to convince you I'm your friend. My job is to be your friend. I ask you question number 5. Then who are your best friends, the busy or the idle? Say it, busy or the idle? I ask you question number 6. So are your best friends those who have more time for you or less time for you? Less time. So would you call your best friends those who do the most for you or the most with you? For you. Question number 8. So are your best friends those who have more time for you or less time for you? Question number 9. Then is the best teacher the one who prepares for you or plays with you? Question number 10. If I am to be your friend, should I have idle time with you? No. I seldom see my best friends. Oh, wouldn't you love... Well, the other night I was down and speaking at Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And I had some things I had to do before I went to bed. And I finished preaching, got back to my room about 11 o'clock. And but went to get in the car to go to the meeting where I was preaching. And Dr. Bob Gray got in the car. And he was staying in the same hotel. And I got to talk to him in the car going to the hotel. Well, Dr. Bob Gray and I have been close friends for many years. We're just about the same age. We've been pastoring the same churches pretty near the same amount of time. And we've been dear friends. Oh, I enjoyed the fellowship 10 minutes in the car going to the service that night. And after the service, I enjoyed the fellowship with Dr. Gray going back to the room. And then he said, Brother Hiles, he said, why don't we get something to eat together and spend a couple hours together in fellowship? Now, wait a minute. I had a choice to make. Either I gave you the message I was going to prepare that night on chapel the next day, or I said to my friend of 30 years or more, I can't spend 2 hours with you. And I said, Brother Bob, I'm sorry, but I've got some things I have got to do. And my friend of many years with whom I'd love to spend time, and I spent 5, he said, I've got a question. I need to ask you some advice. Could you give me 5 minutes? And I wanted to say, Brother, I'd like to give you 5 hours. But I gave him 5 minutes and went to my room, prepared the sermon for this meeting the next day on chapel. What was I doing? I was doing something for you instead of with him. And that's what friendship is. Friendship is not a selfish enjoyment of someone else's presence. Friendship is preparing yourself so you be qualified and capable and able to help those to whom you're friends when they have trouble. This turned up all of a sudden, didn't it? Did I get louder all of a sudden? Turn that down, whatever. Something all of a sudden went way up. I can take care of getting up myself. But, so I'm saying that let me illustrate. Where are you from? What church are you from? Charleston, South Carolina. If I'd been idle, you wouldn't have a pastor down there. Where are you from? Where? I have to get another one. Where are you from, son? What church? Cleveland Baptist Temple. I'll guarantee a church, most of you in this room this morning, most of you would not be here in this place if I'd been idle. How many of you go to churches and you know for a fact that your pastor was greatly influenced by the ministry here or my preaching around the country somewhere? Raise your hand, would you please? Well, that's it. You wouldn't be here this morning if I'd been idle. Most of you will have jobs when you leave here in places that would not even have jobs open if I'd been idle. So if I don't spend as much time with you, but I spend my time for you, I am helping you more than if I spent my time with you. I want to give some observations about that, and I want you to think about these things I've said about the idle people. Young people, if you have idle time, you run with the wrong crowd or hang around with the wrong crowd, and you also become the wrong crowd. You provide a crowd for other idle people. I guarantee you this. Everybody in this room who is an idle time waster will grow old one of these days without a real friend. Have a friend right now who's in trouble. Haven't seen him in 2 years. He's in trouble. I'm arranging where he can get paid for a year. He's financially in trouble. Can't find work. He's in bad health. He's getting up in years. I'm arranging for a way he can get paid for a whole year of salary, he and his family. I haven't seen him in 2 years. A lot of those guys that hang around spitting and whittling with him, they're not doing anything for him. You know why? Because I've been busy. I've been busy trying to work and trying to stay busy and trying to build opportunity so when the guy got to where he is now, I could be his friend. You know what the other folks are doing, that the idle people? They're coming around saying, "We sure are praying for you." In the first place, they're lying. In the second place, they don't get their prayers answered anyway. The Bible says they're fools and don't redeem the time. Not wise. Why? Because they don't redeem the time. They're "I wish you are praying for you." Do you know that "I love you" never bought a piece of bread? And "I'm praying for you" never bought a guy a meal or paid a day's rent? Observations. Plan your leisure time. I'm not against you having leisure time. I'm against you having idle time. Now, for example, I know that I can be a better preacher if I have some time when I'm not thinking about the work. So, I plan it. I decide how much leisure time I need to stay mentally alert, physically strong, and I decide when that leisure time ought to be, what that leisure time ought to be, how long that leisure time will be, what time that leisure time starts, and what time that leisure time ends. And I take my leisure time like I take medicine to make me stronger. I plan my leisure time. For example, I drink one milkshake a week. One. I want 50. But I drink one milkshake a week. I won't tell you when it is, but it's one part of the week when I need just for a few minutes, maybe 15 minutes to relax. And I get me a vanilla milkshake from McDonald's. And that thing lasts me 15 minutes. I take one drop at a time and drink it. Now I plan it. I never drink a milkshake other than that time. Never do. Well, you say, why do you choose that time? Because there's a time of the week when I need to relax a few minutes. And I know I do. That's not idle time. That's planned leisure time. Plan your leisure time. Decide when you have it. Don't just, "You doing anything tonight?"
Now I haven't got anything planned.
You're an idiot. Bible says you're a fool. Nobody ought to have a minute that's not planned. Ever. I eat one hot dog a week. Of course, I eat several chili dogs, but I eat one hot dog a week. One. No, not Polish. Not Polish. One hot dog a week. Old-fashioned American hot dog made out of the purest of the scraps of the cow. But anyway, now you say, when is that? Monday morning, I get to the airport. You know why? Because I'm hungry then. No, but I make a ritual. Everything I do like that, I make a ritual of it. I buy me a hot dog. I get me a cup of hot tea. I get over in the corner somewhere where nobody can see me. I don't go to these fancy places like the Delta Crown Club and the all that fancy. That's for the rich people. But I get over in the corner somewhere where nobody can see me, and I get the sport page, and I find out how much the Cowboys lost by the day before. I take 15 minutes, not 16, not 14, 15 minutes, read the paper, eat a hot dog, and drink a cup of hot tea. I schedule that. It's not idle time. It's leisure time. Plan. I plan what I do. I plan what I eat. I plan what I drink. I plan when I start. I plan when I stop. You say, why? Because I feel like on Monday morning early, I need some time to just sort of unwind. And I can unwind in 15 minutes. I can wind in 15 seconds. I have planned leisure when I nap from 1 to 5 every afternoon. I plan it. For example, I know that on Sunday afternoon I can be a better preacher on Sunday night if I'll take about a 20-minute nap. Now, I don't take an hour's nap. I set the alarm, take a 20-minute nap Sunday afternoon. Why? Because it cleans my mind out a little bit, clears it out a little bit for Sunday night. But it's planned. Not idle time. It's leisure time. What's the difference? Idle time and leisure time. Leisure time is planned on purpose to fill a need in your life because you need some leisure. Idle time is time you just hang around, do nothing, piddle, waste time. Now that's the crowd that'll not be your friends. Next observation. Plan your dates. Listen to me. Plan your dates. Young folks, you're spending too much time with that bilious look on your face in the hallway saying, what's wrong? You didn't write me a note between the last class. You only wrote me 6 notes today. What's wrong? Look, you just can sit, look at each other so long. I mean, you can just sit on a sofa in the waiting room, whatever it is. You're going to sit there and look at each other so long. I love you. I love you too. I still love you. I still love you too. I still love you now. I still love you now. Well, you didn't say that last one like you meant it. What's wrong? Well, nothing's wrong. Well, you don't act like you did yesterday. You know why? You're dating on idle time, and you ought to be dating on planned things. Plan your dates. Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Didn't say, can two sit together except they be agreed? Didn't say, can two stand together except they be agreed? Why? People that are friends and people that have good relationships are not people that sit together or stand together. They walk together. Planned. Planned. Plan your dates. Young men, make plans. You said, Brother Howes, don't you, shouldn't we ever sit and talk? Yes, but you should plan to sit and talk. And by the way, wouldn't it be a bad idea to plan what to, for the young man to plan what he's going to talk about? Rather than just sit there in idle time. And I'll guarantee you, more couples break up because they do not plan their dates than any other single reason. You become bored with each other. Same thing's true about your marriage. Plan. Next observation. Plan working time together. I'll guarantee you that Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen, and I laugh together more than any other three people in this room. But we've never played golf together. We've never bowled together. We've never gone fishing together. You know why? Because if I do those things, I want to do them with real men. But the truth is, I'm sorry, nobody over here qualify either in this section. I love to go fishing with you guys and come home alone. I'd use you for bait, what I'd do. Like all worms. Anyway. But I mean it. I'll guarantee you that no three people in this room, when they get together, will laugh any more than the three of us will. But what are we doing? We're working. We get together to work. And we'll think of something funny. Most anything, you can say good morning and I can think something funny about it. I'm thinking of something funny right now. Did you ever stop to think that, and hardly ever do I tell a joke? I'm serious about that. In my preaching, I hardly ever tell a joke. It's all, anything I say that's funny, it comes. Just comes like that. Why? Listen carefully now. I'm saying that you, if you work together, you can have fun while you work together. But plan to work together. We have certain times we meet to work. Plan to work together. Boy, I wish I could. The difference in the woman that's worn out when her husband gets home at night, greets him with nagging, and the woman that is meets him with a smile and she's clean and with a kiss and she's not nagging. The difference is the one woman is scheduled and the other woman is not scheduled. One woman does whatever comes up. The other woman decides what's going to come up, redeeming the time. Plan your work time together. Listen, my staff men and I meet. We meet, my paid staff, all of us meet once a week. But my male staff members at the church meet twice a month. We have a time. You couldn't plan a party that's any more fun than the time we have while we're working. But we schedule it. We don't just say, hey, why don't you come in here for an hour and a half unless you shoot the bull? No, we don't do that. We come together to work and get things done. And while we're working, we enjoy it with each other and enjoy each other's time. Observation number four, schedule your entire life. Don't let a minute of your life be unscheduled. You say, preacher, don't you ever just sit around and do nothing? Yeah, but I plan and schedule when I do it. And I only sit around and do nothing if I feel like I need to sit around and do nothing to make me a better worker. Did you know if you decide to sit around and do nothing, you can have as much fun as if you just happen to sit around and do nothing? Years ago, I read a comic strip, Mutt and Jeff. Who was the short one, Mutt or Jeff? Or Jeff was laying under a tree, sound asleep. Summertime, just laying there snoring away. Mutt said, "Get up, Jeff." He said, "Why?" He said, "So you can go to get your job." He said, "Why?" He said, "So you can make some money." He said, "Why?" He said, "So you can save it." He said, "Why?" He said, "So you can retire someday." He said, "Why?" "Why," he said, "man, if you retire, you can just lay around under the shade of a tree all the time." He said, "Mutt, that's what I'm doing now. Why go to all that trouble?" Schedule your prayer time. Schedule your study time. Schedule your Bible reading time. Schedule your soul winning time. Schedule the time you spend with your wife, your girlfriend. Schedule the time you spend with your children. Schedule the time you spend alone with yourself. Schedule the time you play. Schedule the time you loaf. Schedule it. If you schedule it because you need it, then idle time is changed to planned time. I'll say this, not quit. Young people and older people, your idle time always flows to your weakness. Your idle time always flows to your weakness. It is during your idle time when your weakness comes to see you. Your weakness does not come to see you when you have no time for him. He knows you won't answer. But your idle time. And not only that, but your idle time always flows to the wrong type people. You plan your life and you will spend your life with your friends. And one of these days, look, I have friends all over this world. I mean that. I'm thinking right now of two or three people. Right now, out in Pasco, Washington, there's a big old guy out there named Dallas Dobson. Pastor of a church, biggest church, biggest fundamental church west of the Mississippi River. I see him 2 days a year. Well, not 2 days. I see him about 27 hours a year. I'm with him once a year. Get in there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and leave after the service the next night. Maybe then I'm there about 30 hours a year. But every once in a while he puts his hand on my shoulder as I leave. And he says, "Preacher, if you need me," that's all he says. I know what he means. If you need me. You give me a guy like that who spends his life busy when I need somebody instead of the guy who's been loafing all the time. He's qualified to help me. He's prepared to help me. There are other people like that all over the country, all over the nation. May I confess something to you now? I've got to quit. I'm 61 and I'll be honest with you, every once in a while I wonder. I mean, I'm the age, you know, I could have a stroke. I've already had one, a stroke of genius. But I'm the age folks 61 years old have strokes. And 61-year-old people sometimes are in convalescent homes. And every once in a while I wonder what would happen to me if I had a stroke and couldn't speak and couldn't walk. I was paralyzed in a wheelchair. And Doc, then I get thinking about people that I know would give their lives just to come spend their life with me and push me around in a wheelchair. I mean, they'd just come. They'd love to feed me when I cannot lift my hand to feed myself. They'd love to push me in a wheelchair just to be with me. They're my friends. You say, did they say that? No, I haven't enough time to talk to them. Because they're not idle. And I'm not either. And I'll guarantee you this. There are hundreds of people that I hardly ever see that when they face the wall and tears are flowing so fast they cannot see will feel my hand on their arm because I'm their friend. But I'm busy. What am I busy doing? I'm busy for one thing, trying to become the kind of person that can help them when their need comes. Redeem the time. Don't be a fool. Be wise and redeem the time. God bless you.